So we come to in this series on the hope of new creation to the gift of being able to speak about this truth of Jesus ascending into heaven. You only read about it in the Gospel of Luke, well, in the Lucan literature, because Luke tells us at the end of chapter 24, the end of his Gospel, and then at the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, also written by this same doctor of our Lord. And so this gift of what it means for Jesus to ascend into heaven. Now, of course, when we picture this, when we think about heaven, and we ask the question, well, where is heaven? If you ask a child this question, where do they always say, or what do they always do? Up there somewhere. That's where heaven is. Of course, as adults, we're much more sophisticated, aren't we? If we ask you, where is heaven, you will give me a very different answer, won't you? You'll say it's... But if someone leaps from the earth and ascends up through the clouds into heaven, this is the person that I think of. Right? Superman is the dude. Someone told me last night that they have an image of Barack Obama dressed as Superman. And if the other dude gets elected, I think we'll all be very grateful for the time we've had with President Obama. But another image that comes to mind, or certainly when I was younger, came to mind of the ascension is this.
Minus 17 seconds and counting. 15. 12. 11. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Start, 2, 1, boost ignition, and liftoff of the space shuttle Discovery.
Come on, it's got all the clouds and it's launching up, and I thought, you know, this is my image when I was a kid of what this was about, of Jesus launching himself up into the stratosphere and the ionosphere and whatever other spheres there were at that time. Of course, as sophisticated people, we realize that heaven is not a geographic location, that it's another dimension, it's another reality. It's that place where the will of God is always done, is always fulfilled, and only the will of God. The problem here on earth is that sometimes we do the will of God, sometimes we honor the name of God, but often it's a mixture. I know in my life, you know, as I said, sometimes I'll do things that are according to the will of God, but often it's just things that are according to the will of Richard, that are often just about my ego, about placating my sense of self, of making myself look bigger, because bigger and taller is always better, right? Because it's closer to heaven. All of these things that are about me and not about God. But heaven is that place where things happen the way that God intends them to happen. Of course, we get to experience moments and elements of that when we gather for the Eucharist. It's one of those places where we're at least meant to experience heaven on earth, and we're meant to experience what it is to do what God wants of us to do. One of the great things about the writings of C.S. Lewis is that he provided us a way of understanding how heaven and earth could connect and relate together, particularly in his writings of the Chronicles of Narnia. He provided us this sense of this intermingling, this meshing together of heaven and of earth. Of course, it's from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Come back.
I'm not on your show.
Will you stop shoving?
Imagination.
And so in case you missed that dialogue, it's this is impossible. And of course, It sometimes it seems to be impossible, this reality, this meshing together of heaven and earth. And sometimes we think what Lucy just thought. Well, of course, it's just in my imagination. You know, we think, well, that's what we thought and believed as children. But now we're, you know, sophisticated grown-ups. We've come to move beyond that. And yet this possibility, of course, still captivates us. We discovered last week that in that moment of death, when we come before the very presence of God, the criteria of judgment, and there will be a judgment, both individual and, as we'll see next week, then of the whole of creation. This first judgment is determined by the way that we have learnt to love. If we have learnt to love God and the ways and things of God, then we have made ourselves capable of heaven. If we haven't, if we've only grown within our own selves and just so shrunk our ego into the sense of just this power of all about us, all about me, then we're not able to experience heaven and we go to the other place. And then, of course, if we need that purification, we saw that we need to pass through the bathroom of heaven, to pass through that experience of purgatory, of being cleansed in order to make ourselves able to celebrate the feast. This judgment of love is this purification that makes us more capable of receiving the life of God. This is a spiritual reality that happens, as Pope Benedict tells us, in the heart's time. Just this purification of wanting to see the very presence of God, knowing ourselves unworthy, knowing ourselves not to be able to experience love in its fullness. One of the mysteries then is this question, well, what is our capacity to love? How do we kind of measure it? St. Therese, when she writes in The Story of the Soul, she speaks about this, that she was perplexed, you know, that did different people in heaven have different capacities to love, to receive the very life of God? And she writes in the second chapter about an event where her sister Pauline used a demonstration to show her that Therese had this little thimble. And so Pauline got a jug of water and poured some water into the thimble. And she asked her, well, is that full? And of course, St. Therese said, yes, you know, it's as absolutely full as it could be. And then she went and got her father's big tumbler. And the beer stein will do the job. And so she then filled it with water. It took a lot longer to fill. And again, it's full to overflowing. And it's this sense of the purpose and point of our lives is indeed to grow in our capacity to love, to continue to expand our soul and our heart through suffering, through experiencing love, to be able to be people that are, you know, able to bear much love, to be able to express much love. I mean, occasionally you meet someone, and it's usually through suffering or through that experience of love, that there's such a capacity, such a depth to that person. I mean, sometimes it seems when you meet someone that it's almost as if you can go swimming together with that person. It's just this incredible experience of this immense love. I mean, that's one of those moments of touching and tasting heaven here on earth. It's this call, this constant call to move beyond our pathetic little lives into the great expanse of God. I mean, we're called, we're invited to recognize each other truly as brothers and sisters. But I recognize in my own life that usually I'm not simply seeing another soul created in the image and likeness of God. I make judgments about that person. I see a person of a certain gender. I see a person of a certain ethnicity. I see a person of a certain skin color. I see a person who's come from a certain suburb. I see a person of a different social status. I see a person of a certain sexual orientation. I see a person in terms of what I can get out of that person, how I can manipulate that person, how I can use that person, rather than simply encountering another son or daughter of the King. We're called to move beyond the littleness of our lives. We're called to experience how God shapes and molds and crafts and calls and invites us here on earth to those experiences of heaven. But it's, of course, not just here on earth that things matter. That's the key. But we're told by St. Paul that in Philippians 3:20 that we are citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to get a sense of this text, we need to remember that Philippi was quite a unique city because they had been on the right side of a civil war three generations before in about 46 BC. There'd been an infighting between different factions and different claimants to the throne to be the emperor. And so Philippi, because they had supplied people to become soldiers and they had supported Julius Caesar in this instance, that they had been rewarded. The whole city had been declared to be a colony of Rome, to be citizens. And so the people of Philippi took this very proudly because being a citizen of Rome gave you all kinds of extra privileges and rights and duties. And so they understood that when Paul told them that you were citizens of heaven, being citizens of Rome didn't mean that they wanted to go to Rome. They wanted to bring the Roman privileges and Roman life to Philippi. It was about making Philippi more and more like Rome. And so being told that you are citizens of heaven doesn't mean that we're meant to escape from earth to go to heaven, but we're meant to bring the life of heaven here to earth, to make this more and more a place where the name of God is honored, where the will of God is always done. For example, going back to the beer stein, if I told you that I have a beer waiting for you in the fridge, you come over for a drink, and I say, well, just go to the fridge, there's a beer there for you. Now, would you expect that you have to actually get inside the fridge to have the beer? No. You don't go into the fridge to drink the beer there. You take the beer out of the fridge and you come back to the lounge room and you sit by the fire and you have the drink there. So being citizens of heaven is not about escaping the earth, but about bringing the life of heaven here. We, of course, pray in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. So we're claiming, we're grabbing the life of heaven and bringing it here on earth. And so at the present moment, because when we die, it will only be our souls who are there in the kingdom of God. It's only our spirits who are there. So it's not that fullness of life yet. We'll come to that next week when we talk again about heaven and earth crashing together. But in that present time, it'll be just this sense of just resting in the presence of God, of just being content to be before the very throne room of God. Like, if you want to know what heaven is like now, you don't look at Revelation 21 and 22, because that's the final things. You look at Revelation 4 and 5, because that describes the life of heaven and the worship of God that is happening right here and right now. And so all of the Christian departed are basically in the same state of being completely and absolutely content within that container that we have made of our lives, in this sense of just restful, contented happiness. Remember that poem that I quoted from of John Donne 2 weeks ago, Death Be Not Proud. And the final two lines say, one short sleep past, we shall awake eternally, and death thou shalt die. This truth that moment, you know, death will finally be defeated and finally be dealt with. But at the present moment, we will experience heaven in spirit, be absolutely content in joy and wonder, glorying in the very presence of God. So remember, heaven is important, but it's not the end of the world. And so let's reflect upon the ascension.